Welcome to the Friends with Money podcast, brought to you by Money Magazine, creating financial freedom for Australians since 1999.
G'day and welcome to another episode of the Friends with Money podcast. It's great to be back in your ears. My name is Tom Watson and I'm a senior journalist here at Money Magazine. Today we're delving into one of my favourite topics, which is property. Well, more specifically, we're looking at the state of house and unit markets, because whether you're looking to invest or to buy your first home, it's always good to understand the different dynamics at play. So to sink our teeth into it, we're joined by Terry Ryder, who is the residential property expert and managing director at hotspotting.com.au. So Terry, thanks for putting the headphones on and joining us today.
No worries, Tom. Always happy to talk about my favourite subject, which is also residential property.
Oh, I'm glad we shared that then. So to start us off, Terry, can you give us an idea of how house prices and unit prices have differed historically and how this has changed during the COVID period?
Historically, houses have always shown greater growth than apartments do. It's kind of a truism in real estate that houses on land have greater capital growth rates over time than apartments do. And it's deemed to be the land content that makes the difference. Obviously, the land content in an apartment in a block of units is relatively minor, whereas a house on a block of land has a major land content. So what we have seen over time is that houses, generally speaking, have grown at a faster rate in terms of their value in the market than have apartments. We also have the factor that apartments have a tendency to go through periods of oversupply, particularly in some of our inner city markets, markets like the Gold Coast, where it's very easy for developers to build too many apartments. Mm. And that has a tendency, when you have oversupply, to suppress the potential for capital growth of apartments. That happens a lot less so with houses on land.
Has this changed over the last couple of years? I just feel like we've been hearing a lot about people moving to regional areas and wanting that extra space, to work from home in. Has that put a premium on even greater premium on houses?
Yeah, we've obviously been going through a national property boom in Australia. We don't have genuine national property booms in Australia very often, maybe once every 20 years, where pretty much everywhere across the country is showing above average growth, double digit growth in many cases. In the last 12 or 18 months, it's been above 20% in many markets. What we have seen is that, again, houses generally speaking have grown at a faster pace than apartments. We have seen growth in median prices for apartments in most of our major markets, and in some cases, exceptional growth. But again, generally houses have grown at a faster pace than houses. So the gap has actually widened. So in the case of Melbourne, for example, last year the gap between the median price for a house and the median price for an apartment was about $260,000, and a year later the gap is $370,000.
Wow!
And we've seen that widening of the gap in all our major cities except Darwin, and so the gap in Sydney, the difference between the median house price and the median apartment price is $570,000. In Melbourne, it's $370,000. In Canberra, it's $450,000. So somebody buying the typical apartment in any of our major cities is paying considerably less than if they bought the typical house.
Some pretty big gaps there in terms of prices. You mentioned this was a trend across all the capital cities, but are there any kind of more specific markets where that didn't occur, where we haven't seen the gap widen to that extent?
Yeah, look, in real estate, there are always exceptions. You've got general rules, but there are always places that are exceptions to the rule. And what we have seen in some markets, individual suburbs, we have seen actually instances where the median price for apartments has grown more than the median house price in the same suburb. And those are places that perhaps have particular lifestyles and offer. We've seen it happen in iconic locations like Noosa Heads on the Sunshine Coast in Queensland, for example, where we've seen exceptional house price growth, 30% in the last 12 months, but apartments have actually grown 50%.
Wow.
In 1 year. There are a number of locations on the Gold Coast, which has been having an exceptional property boom, even more so than many other parts of Australia. We've seen some suburbs with their typical apartment suburbs on the Gold Coast, like Broadbeach, like Miami, Burleigh Heads, where we've seen median price growth for apartments above 30%. Miami's grown actually 44%. And we've also seen that happening in some of the better areas of Sydney, on the northern beaches, for example, Avalon Beach. Big jump in house prices, 30% in the last 12 months, but the median price for apartment has grown 51%. So we have seen exceptions to the general rule, and it's perhaps the emergence of a trend, which I think might start to take hold for a number of reasons, including affordability.
So you mentioned that, and that kind of plays into my next question, which is, who are the kind of people that tend to buy units? Because in my head, I'm thinking that, you know, the buyers are typically younger Australians who are kind of getting into the property market for the first time, or people wanting to be closer to cities. Is that the case, or is it a little bit more complicated than that?
With real estate, it's always a bit more complicated than that, but there's a certain amount of truth in what you say, that young people have a tendency, more so than other cohorts, to buy apartments, not just for affordability reasons, but also for lifestyle reasons. Many young people want to be perhaps closer to the action, as it were, and they can achieve that more affordably with an apartment. But also they're looking for a low maintenance lifestyle that doesn't involve spending your weekends tending gardens and mowing lawns and taking leaves out of gutters, which is something I deal with all the time because I live on acreage. But yeah, so that low maintenance lifestyle, more affordable lifestyle, perhaps a better connected location. So there's an attraction there for younger buyers. But there's all sorts of other cohorts as well looking for that particular lifestyle or location. And one of the really big emerging ones is the downsizer market, or some people like to call it the right sizer market, where older Australians whose children are now adults and they're rattling around in the big 4 or 5 bedroom family home, which becomes a lot of work for them as they get older. And they're looking to downsize, not in quality, but getting rid of the green bits and the stairs primarily. And so they've become a very, very big buying force for the apartment market in our major cities and the lifestyle areas like the Central Coast in New South Wales, the Gold Coast in Queensland.
So are they potentially the ones who've been responsible for those kind of larger price rises for units in places like Noosa in, you know, those more desirable locations?
Yeah, we actually have seen that trend very strongly on the Sunshine Coast. So it's a typical market where the dominant trend that's been sweeping real estate for a number of years, and it's been enhanced by the COVID period, is the one I call the exodus to affordable lifestyle, where people looking for a different lifestyle, more affordable than the biggest cities, enabled by technology, which enables people to work remotely. And more people have taken those sorts of opportunities. And so markets like the Sunshine Coast, some of the suburbs there like Noosa and Markula and Coolum Beach, we've seen big increases in house prices, but even bigger increases in the median price for apartments in those areas, because it's a particular lifestyle where people might be able to access a home, i.e. an apartment with views of the ocean and the beaches, much more affordably than buying a house on a block of land in the same location.
That's really interesting and makes a lot of sense to me as well.
Yeah.
Do you think that there's going to be any kind of correction coming up then, given the kind of general gap that's kind of, you know, being stretched between these two markets? Is there a point where that would become unsustainable, or could it just potentially just keep getting wider and wider?
Look, I think there's a point where it becomes something that people really notice and it becomes an opportunity. I don't think we're going to see a correction so much, because a correction implies prices falling. I think we're perhaps going to be seeing more people targeting apartments for affordability reasons and lifestyle reasons. And as demand grows for apartments, particularly in the more expensive markets, then we might see the gap closing, mainly because apartments are starting to rise in price faster than houses in some locations. So that's the way the mechanism by which We might close the price gap between houses and apartments. So I think it is potentially a strong emerging trend around Australia. You know, affordability is a huge issue. It's been a huge issue in the federal election campaign, and it's, you know, in the minds of many people trying to access a particular lifestyle. It's an issue, and I think it's going to prompt more and more people to target apartments as a lifestyle and as an affordability choice.
On the kind of investor side of things, is purchasing a unit over a house, given the discrepancy in price, a no-brainer for investor at the moment? Or again, is there more to that decision and calculation that people will need to take into account?
From a certain perspective, you could say it's a no-brainer, but it's also a mental hump that people have to get over, because people do have that perception that they're going to get much better capital growth if they buy a house on a block of land. And so people have to get beyond that before they can see the other benefits in choosing an apartment, like affordability. And also the fact that what we see pretty much everywhere in Australia is that the rental yields for apartments are higher than they are for houses. Mm. And so that's another attraction, even though there are some additional costs to owning an apartment, like body corporate fees, for example. But overall, your rental yield would tend to be significantly higher for apartments, and that's another attraction for investors. But there are, you know, like every option in property, there are pros and cons, and there are a few cons that people need to be aware of when choosing to invest in apartments.
Well, should we get into some of those pros and cons then? Because I am interested in from a very kind of practical point of view, what people should look out for when they're thinking about buying an apartment and what they should kind of try to avoid.
Well, yeah, the biggest risk with apartments is the potential for oversupply. And we see that constantly. Brisbane has been through a phase where developers built too many inner city apartments, and it's taken 5 or 6 years for that oversupply to be absorbed. And we're now at a point where vacancies are now low again and values are starting to rise. But we've seen it constantly on the Gold Coast in areas like Surfers Paradise. We've seen it in inner city Melbourne and areas like Docklands and Southbank. And that potential does exist with apartments. So that's the concern. So I would suggest that when people are thinking of investing in apartments as an option that has attraction to them, they should be looking at areas where that potential for oversupply is not so great. They could perhaps be looking for, there's all sorts of different types of apartments, looking for something a little bit more boutique in style, something that's got a little bit of individual character. Because one of the problems with apartments is you get a 30 or 40 story high rise with 200 or 300 apartments, and there's not really a point of difference. They're all very generic and there's a lot of them. So perhaps targeting apartments that have some sort of individual character, and in locations where perhaps the zonings and the development controls mean that developers can't buy houses and knock them down and build 30-story apartment blocks. Those would be the sort of things to look out for, I think.
I live in an apartment. I have done for several years now. And one of the features that I really appreciate is my car space. How important is that as a feature to look for as an investor?
Look, I think it's really important that, you know, people do want their car space. And if you, as an investor, looking for a tenant, you're going to find it perhaps easier to find a tenant or find a better tenant and or get a higher rental if you've got a car space on offer, as well as a good, well-located apartment, perhaps with views. So, yeah, I think it's an important factor and something for investors to make sure they tick that box when, because, you know, there's so many options out there. So make that a criteria to make sure that you kind of maximise your returns the most.
Terry, this has been a fascinating chat, and my head is very much on the Sunshine Coast right now in an apartment staring out at the water, not here in Sydney in this recording studio. So I will let you go for now, but thank you so much for joining us and for all your insights that you provided us with today.
You're welcome. Let's do it again soon.
Sounds good. Don't forget that if you enjoy listening to Friends with Money, you can really help us out by recommending it to your friends and to your family, or by leaving us a review on iTunes or the Apple Podcast app. But only 5 stars, please. And while you're there, hit the subscribe button to make sure that you don't miss out on our future episodes. And if you have any questions, comments, or story ideas, we would love to hear from you. So please feel free to send them our way via our dedicated email, which is podcast@moneymag.com.au. And last but not least, be sure to head over to moneymag.com.au to keep up to date with all the latest financial news and views. But that's it for this episode of the Friends with Money podcast. I'm Tom Watson. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to the Friends with Money podcast. For credible, independent, and easy to understand financial commentary, visit moneymag.com.au. Please remember that the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are general in nature, and further independent advice and research based on your personal circumstances should be sought before making an investment decision.